Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our meditation this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, reading from verse 9 through 14 as follows. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the merciful receiver of penitent sinners, dearly beloved hearers of his precious word. The natural man, according to his own self-righteous image, considers himself to be in good standing with God on the basis of his actions and behavior. He believes that, all things considered, he's a pretty stand-up guy and even worthy to receive praise or be recognized for his good deeds. Even we Christians, because of our sinful flesh, at times might find ourselves taking pride in our works of sanctification as the children of God, and look down upon others as though they were more guilty according to the law than we are. The fallacy of this haughty, self-righteous image is exposed by the law of God, which tells us that while outward works may show one to be righteous in the sight of men, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Therefore, let us carefully consider the Lord's parable in our text, and heed the instruction of the Lord Jesus concerning personal justification. At the conclusion of his parable, Jesus instructs us that everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Throughout his public ministry, Jesus frequently interacted with members of a sect or religious group within the Jewish church known as the Pharisees. The Pharisees emphasized a strict observance of both the Mosaic law and the legalistic traditions that had been handed down to them by previous generations. These Pharisees prided themselves on their adherence to the letter of the law and considered themselves to be righteous because of their works. Thus, they were often denounced by Jesus as hypocrites because they covered up their sinfulness with public shows of piety or godliness. Here in our text, Jesus spoke a parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That is, he addressed this parable to just such hypocrites and used the example of a Pharisee to illustrate their hypocritical behavior. Jesus sets forth in his parable a scenario of two men going up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a manifest habitual sinner. We read concerning the Pharisee, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" We note from this description that the Pharisee regarded himself to be righteous because of his works. After all, anyone who looked at his long list of wonderful works would certainly realize just how righteous and holy he was. As an Orthodox Jew, he regularly went up to the temple to pray, not, however, to give praise and thanks to God for all of his blessings, but to call everyone's attention to the fact that he had done all of the things that he was supposed to do according to God's law, at least superficially. From the Lord's application at the conclusion of this parable, we know that the Pharisee was really exalting himself before God on the basis of his own righteousness. And thus the Lord Jesus instructs us, saying, "Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased." When a person exalts himself, he first of all ascribes to himself credit for his works. In order to avoid any need for repentance, he disregards and even denies his own sin and guilt before God. When we examine the prayer of the Pharisee, we notice an obvious absence of confession of sins and even contrition for them as horrible offenses before the Lord. When a person exalts himself before God, he also praises himself for the goodness of his works and behavior. From the Greek of our text, we note that the Pharisee really prayed unto himself. Though outwardly addressing God, he was really thanking himself for being such a good and righteous person. He was arrogantly proud of his good works, and he had convinced himself by those very works that he was indeed righteous in the sight of God. We see that when a person exalts himself before God, he trusts in his own merits for justification. Because of this, a person deceives himself, the Apostle John says in his first epistle, because he does not recognize the complete and total inadequacy of his works to justify himself before God. The prophet Isaiah says in his 64th chapter, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Those who trust in their own merits for justification also despise the righteousness of God without which no one can be saved. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Apostle Paul writes in his epistle to the Romans that this righteousness of God, earned for all mankind by Christ's act of obedience, is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, and that therefore all those who go about establishing their own righteousness cannot attain true righteousness before God, because they seek it not by faith, but, as it were, by the works of the law. Romans chapter 9, verse 32. And the Scripture teaches us that according to this righteousness, which is by the law, no man living will be justified in the sight of God. Having established in their own minds this righteousness according to the law, those who exalt themselves scorn those who do not live up to the standard of their own imagined righteousness. Their own righteousness becomes their new standard of worthiness before God, and they are quick to judge others as unworthy because of their sins. In Luke chapter 15, the Pharisees openly murmured against Jesus for spending time and talking with publicans and sinners, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." People who exalt themselves before the Lord according to their own perceived righteousness will not stand tall and proud before God in the judgment. But as Jesus instructs us in our text, they shall be abased. All those who exalt themselves will be brought low. That is, pulled down from their ivory towers by the judgment of God because of their arrogance. The prophet Isaiah wrote concerning the last days, saying, "The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." As they stand humiliated in the judgment, those who have established righteousness in their own minds by their outward compliance of God's law will be judged for a complete lack of true righteousness before God. This judgment of the Lord is brought forward in time and established even now, just as Jesus judged the Pharisees of his day, saying, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Matthew 23, verse 28. Thus, we see from our text that because he had exalted himself, the Pharisee did not go down to his house justified in the sight of God. Finally, the abasement of the exalted will conclude with their condemnation to hell because of their sins and their impenitence for them. As the judge of all things, the Lord Jesus will say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Thus he warns us in Luke chapter 13, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But now we see in the Lord's parable the example of proper humility before God and true justification before the Lord. The Lord Jesus tells us at the end of his parable, "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In addition to the Pharisee, a publican also went up to the temple to pray. Unlike the outward acts of the Pharisee, by which he boasted of his righteousness before God and men, the publican was outwardly unrighteous according to his works. The publicans were people who had been hired as tax collectors for the occupying Roman government, and they were notorious for fraud, extortion, and corruption. We read concerning the publican, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." From this description, we note that the publican recognized his unrighteousness according to the law. He pleaded to God for mercy because of his lack of merit, and confessed that he indeed was a sinner. The actions of the publican showed that he had truly humbled himself before the Lord, namely, that he was truly brokenhearted and contrite over his sins. How does one become truly humble before the Lord? We learn from the Holy Scriptures that a man humbles himself, first of all, by recognizing his sins in the mirror of God's holy law. From the testimony of God's Word, a person learns of his original or inherited sin, passed down through carnal generation from Adam. Passages such as Psalm 51, verse 5, which states, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," show that by his very nature, man is sinful and unholy, spiritually depraved, blind, dead, and an enemy of God. In addition to the recognition of his corrupt nature, a person truly humbles himself by being shown his sinful actions according to the Ten Commandments. Our sins of thought, desire, word, and deed are shown to us by these commandments, which teach us how we are to be and what we are to do and not to do. These commandments taught the publican in our text of his unrighteous status before his God. Thus, it is not enough merely to recognize oneself as a sinner, but a person is truly humbled before God by true contrition that is, real sorrow and lament over his sins. Our text tells us that the publican stood afar off and would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. He was so ashamed because of his sins and his unworthiness before the Lord that he couldn't even bring up his eyes to look toward the God whom he had offended. The publican knew from the law of God that no work, no matter how good in the sight of men, could make him right with God. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Romans 3, verse 20. Our good works cannot justify us before God, nor reconcile us to him, because the only righteousness that avails before God cannot be sought or attained by the works of the law, but only by faith in Christ, the Messiah, lest any man should boast of his own merits. Therefore, those who are truly humble before the Lord plead to him to have mercy upon him for the sake of someone else's righteousness, namely Christ's perfect righteousness. The mercy of God is his undeserved compassion toward sinful mankind because of Christ's perfect work of redemption. The publican in our text did not plead any works of righteousness, but simply prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. From the Greek of our text, we note that this phrase, be merciful to me, is more literally translated, be propitious to me. We know from the scriptures that Christ Jesus was sent down to earth to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thus, the publican was pleading the merits of the Messiah, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The Lord Jesus instructs us that all those who truly humble themselves before God shall be mercifully exalted because of Christ's perfect propitiation of their unrighteousness. What does it mean to be exalted in regard to the doctrine of justification? First of all, those who have been humbled by the knowledge of their sins according to the law, are cheered and uplifted by the gospel, namely by the good news of forgiveness of sins, which Christ earned by his redemptive work. By his perfect life, Christ earned and established for all people the righteousness that the law requires. And by his innocent suffering and death, Christ paid the penalty for all mankind, which the law demands. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. The humble are also exalted when they are brought to believe and trust in the reconciliation of the world in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ's redemptive work, God reconciled the world unto himself in Christ, as St. Paul says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Thus, when we believe that God, for Christ's sake, reconciled us to himself, we are reconciled to God and justified personally by faith. The true righteousness by which we are accounted righteous before God is not to be sought within us, as some falsely teach, that is, by the indwelling of Christ's essential righteousness according to his divine nature. But our righteousness is to be sought outside of us in Christ, because it is his righteousness, not his essential righteousness, but the righteousness that he earned by keeping the law on behalf of all mankind, the very righteousness because of which God reconciled the world unto himself, which is applied to us by faith. Thus, the Scriptures teach that faith is counted for righteousness. Therefore, the publican in our text went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee, because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness by faith. As the final result of his justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith, the humble will be graciously exalted and received by God into the glory of heaven. Let us take to heart the instruction of the Savior concerning our personal justification. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let us behold our sins in the mirror of God's law and recognize that we, like the publican in our text, are miserable, wretched sinners. We dare not trust in our own righteousness for our justification, lest we become Pharisees ourselves. The Lord has given to all mankind remission of sins and righteousness in his sight as the free gift of divine grace for the sake of Christ, the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And he has promised that all those who repent of their sins and trust in Christ's merits shall receive forgiveness of sins. Having this firm promise of justification by faith, let us come boldly to his throne of grace, denying our own merit, but rather pleading the merits of Christ, and receive what the Lord has graciously given us in his Son. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.